And I think that, you know, the whole humanity versus technology thing, you start to see that there's an opportunity here to create greater connectivity, because the kids that are walking around on those phones, they're not looking at the phones, they're talking to their friends in real time. I used to go to summer camp, you get a pen pal, you write them one or two letters. My kids are talking all the time to the kids they met in summer camp and all the friends that they meet at the parties and people at school. So really, when they're walking around, they're just ignoring you, not people.
You may recognize that voice. It is the voice of Jon Favreau, and he directed, produced, and has actually appeared as Happy Hogan in the films Iron Man and Iron Man 2. And he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Hey guys, so sorry to interrupt. First of all, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you're remaining focused, and I hope that it's helping unlock and unleash the inner superpower that's in you. But you'll hear throughout today's episode for Jon Favreau, and I pronounced it correctly at the beginning, but I don't know if I'm tired, but I start to say Favreau, like I'm French, like oui, oui. Mi belly button is French. But it is Favreau, and I've been catching flack for it from not only John, but also Jake and Savannah and the rest of the team, so it's good-natured fun. It is my flossom moment. I talk about being flossom. We're not perfect. It's all about being flossom. When you're flossom, you admit your mistake, so I'm admitting my mistake. But I do think this is one of our better episodes. Man, I love everything that John produces. Such amazing stuff. And my girls love The Mandalorian. But it is Favreau, like row your boat. And I should know that because two of my best friends from high school are the Rowe twins. They're a couple years older, gigantic human beings. And they were great at basketball. And so the stands where I grew up, Rochester Hills, Michigan, at Rochester High School, go Falcons. The whole stands would put their hands on each other's shoulders and they start going, row, row, row. So you can imagine the sea of humanity just rowing back and forth, chanting row, row, row. Conjured up a great memory for me, but so let's take that digital lemon and make that lemonade. But enough from me. I hope you enjoy the show and thanks again for listening. Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. I am your host, Eric Quammen. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Today we have Jon Favreau. As I mentioned, he was a director, producer, and appeared as Happy Hogan in the films Iron Man and Iron Man 2. But you may also know that he helped direct Elf, one of my daughter's favorites. And he's also the director of Mandalorian, one of my favorite shows, and I watched that also with my daughters. Man, the list goes on and on. Some of you might know him from Friends. He was Monica's boyfriend at one point and a billionaire boyfriend. But he first appeared in Rudy, where he met Vince Vaughn, and then they went on later to star in Swingers. So a lot to read. His background's just amazing as an actor and director. But I hope you enjoy his 7 super tips. And it's all made possible by Amazon, Amazon Prime. It's crazy during this pandemic. You can still get basically anything within a day. I know I just ordered a hand whistle. Probably wondering what the heck that is. But I coach my daughter's basketball team. And when you blow into a whistle, that's not very COVID friendly. And so these hand whistles, you just squeeze them and it's a whistle. So anyways, I just ordered those this week from Amazon Prime. And you can also listen to my newest book, The Focus Project. Thank you so much for making it a number one new release. But if you want to hear more of my dulcet voice, if you want to hear more of my voice, you can actually listen to the Audible version of The Focus Project. So without further ado, here are 7 super tips from Jon Favreau. Tip number 1.
I'd say I learned more as a director from being an actor than vice versa. I've had the good fortune of being able to apprentice. I'm sort of a de facto apprentice on these movies that I'm an actor on, because I get to watch the director, follow him around, ask him questions, ask all the department heads questions on the set. And that was my learning. That was my film school. I got to watch directors direct. And then I try to emulate the ones that I respect. Most directors don't have that experience. You come out of film school, or you write a script, or you pull money together and you're on a set. For the first time, you're on a set, you're the boss. That's a weird way to learn how to do something. And so being on other people's sets and watching the flow of work and watching how they handle people gave me a tremendous leg up on other people who were other first-time directors who had never had that experience.
It's interesting here because he says that he was playing basically to his strength, that he was an actor so he could actually be an apprentice and look at directors that he liked so he could emulate what they did. And so that's what we always stress here at the Super You Podcast is play to your superpowers, play to your strength. We all have weaknesses. We all have that kryptonite. So you want to shore that up so it's not a huge liability, but you'd never make a weakness a strength. You want to spend your time going deep on your own superpowers. And in this case, one of his strengths is that he was an actor first and then a director. As we move on to tip number two, John went by the nickname of Johnny Hack in college for his talent with the hacky sack game.
It was, you know, his track record was not something you wouldn't expect his face on a Happy Meal, you know. at the time, it was, you know, find somebody. The mask was the star. Right. Find somebody unknown, you'll make the star.
Right.
And go with somebody young, somebody cheap, and there was, you know, somebody enthusiastic. And with Robert, he was cheap and enthusiastic, but super talented. And Tony Stark, you know, is the one guy where you can actually cast somebody our age and tell a story about a person that's not in high school, but right. somebody who's lived a life and had problems and bounced
credibility.
Back.
Credibility from the moment that movie opens.
But it was, let's ground this as much as we could. And I think it opened it up to a big audience that wasn't necessarily just comic book fans. People's parents were going to see it. And when Robert came on board, all of a sudden, it became easy to get Jeff Bridges, Gwyneth Paltrow,
really?
You know, Terrence Howard. So it opened up a whole, it looked like an indie. You know, we come out of that world.
Yes.
Right? You know, we're both kind of Comic-Con
Iron
guys.
Man. You cast Iron Man like a mirror match.
Like we would have
Classy.
Done back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And there was no reason not to. I saw it as an opportunity. Let's cast it with the people that couldn't necessarily get anything greenlit but an indie film. And
right.
then you got that great resource to work with.
I love that line, you wouldn't expect his face on a Happy Meal, meaning basically it was a challenge, it was a risk. And I always say it's not reward, it is risk, reward. And so that's a great tip. You know, be willing to take that risk because that's how you get that reward. And when I say risk, it's not like a capricious risk, it's a calculated risk. So make sure you do your due diligence and then say, you know what, this risk is going to be worth that reward. Here we go, moving on to tip number three. Did you know Favreau was born in Flushing, Queens, New York, and he's the son of two teachers. His mother, Madeline, was a teacher at an elementary school, and his father was a special education teacher. So do this. Reach out to a teacher. Maybe it's your kid's teacher. Maybe it's a teacher that you had, but it's been a very challenging year for teachers. So just reach out to them and give them a thanks. Man, we got to raise up all these teachers. We've got to give them the props that they deserve. So let's do that collectively. If all of us collectively could do that, post it forward, and just shine the light on a teacher that's made an impact in your life, or maybe it's in your kid's life.
Well, I was an actor. I was in a film, Rudy. I don't know if you remember film about Notre Dame.
Right.
And it was my big break. You know, I was living in Chicago at the time. I had moved there to study improv and got cast from an audition in this role. And it was just, I mean, my family, my friends all felt that now I had arrived. I mean, I was a movie star.
Yes. And they saw you on the screen.
Sure. I mean, my name was at the beginning of the film. A front credit in a movie is like, you know, a dream come true. And plus, I was very proud of the film. I was very proud of my performance. I had gotten the critics like me, the agents in town, everybody. I was the toast of the town for, you know, that 15 minutes. And I moved out there, and I just didn't work. I just didn't work. I had dropped about 75 pounds.
Yeah.
The town didn't know what to do with me. And I spent a lot of time with these out-of-work actor friends that also had gotten their big breaks but also weren't working. And so we just kicked around town, and I decided to try my hand at writing. And I just sat down at my computer not thinking anybody would read it, and certainly I didn't think anybody would make it. And I wrote the script Swingers in about 2 weeks.
Moving on to tip number four, you might not know this, but in 1994, he was in the Seinfeld episode, the fire episode. You know, when George throws all the kids out of the way, they get once there's a fire. He is the clown at that birthday party. So if you see that rerun, that is Jon Favreau as a clown. Psst.
It's all a matter of adjusting to what the environment is at any given moment and adjusting in an art of war kind of way. I don't think about it in those terms, but acknowledge what the terrain is. And I think a lot of what seems like in my career in general, as though I've had this vision for how my career was going to change and things I would try to do and to get things accomplished, was more a reaction to what the circumstances were. So, for example, I thought Swingers would open a lot of doors for me acting-wise. It didn't. I got to do a little bit of stuff here and there. It was fun. But I was very sought after as a writer after that. And so the writer door opened up. The actor door was, you know, kind of more of a small, you know, a little cracked open door that occasionally I could poke my nose through, but it wasn't receiving me. But the writer door was wide open. So I started to do that, and I learned a lot about storytelling and interacting with executives and what the system was by being involved with projects, and none of which that ever got actually produced with the versions that I wrote. But I was part of a chain of writers on certain projects. So I was pretty good at adjusting to what path was available to me and finding something interesting about what was available, but without ever feeling that I was compromising, but just trying to check out something that could be cool and not getting in my own way of saying, why shouldn't I be a writer on this? Why not pitch this take on a movie, even though I've never done a rewrite? Why not go in there and talk to them about this? And so I think I've had enough confidence to not be scared to try something new, which I think is something that gets in a lot of people's ways. I think people get in their own way a lot.
Why not? Why the heck not? Someone smarter than I once said that, hey, at the end of the day, we're just a bunch of naked monkeys trying to hang on to the spinning sphere in this universe. And so face that fear. Just say, why the heck not? Also, I love that it's about being firm in your destination, but flexible in your path. When he said, hey, I thought that Swinger was going to open a lot of doors for me from an acting perspective, the door that actually was open was that for writing. So he went right through that door. And it's interesting, there's a parable between the sun and the cave that one day they decided, hey, we should switch places. And so the cave went up where the sun normally is and said, wow, this is amazing up here. And the sun went down where the cave is and surprisingly said, this is amazing down here. And the reason the sun said it was amazing, because the sun brought the light with him or her, brought it down there. So it's always about us bringing our own sunshine, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstance. And just saying today, just say, why the heck not? Why not me? Why not now? Here we are with tip number 5.
I think it's a disposition. Puzzle. I think it's the disposition of finding what the scene is about.
Yeah.
And so much of my job as a director is really just dialing in the actors as to what either we just did before, right, or what's in the script, and we talked about what that scene was going to probably be like, right, and what scene is next, and giving them a context of where it falls within the arc of the story. Or sometimes conspiratorially saying, listen, this is what happened in this other scene. I know you're only in this scene, but I'm going to need you to change the energy here as a rhythm thing. So what I need from you as a storyteller is this. And as soon as they understand what the goal is, they may have a difference of opinion, but at least there's a conversation going on. And oftentimes I'm not sure about exactly what everything should be. And so if there's a different idea that's strong, I'll do both. Right. And really try to do my best version of both. And then in the editing room, look at how it's all going to fit together. But I'm very rarely the type of director who's like, you come off of this and you come into this. I just feel embarrassed. I'm not that kind of, I don't feel like I have that background. But I do know I understand what an actor, I could look at an actor's eyes and draw insight from their thoughtfulness. Mm. Or I will have watched Gwyneth and Robert having an argument during a rehearsal, and then we'll have written in the argument that they had, not as the characters, but as the people, and then use it as their characters. Right. And then they hook into it. They know I'm watching and listening, and it hooks them into that energy.
There you heard it from one of the best storytellers of all time. To put it simply, Never make a point without telling a story, and never tell a story without making a point. Here we are with tip number 6.
With an experience like this, you're seeing what the story we're trying to tell you. We're trying to make you feel a certain way. You're seeing the people who spent all the weeks and hours coding, getting his behavior just right, the character design, the lighting, all of those things. This is a whole group of people who worked for a year just to get this little experience going. And they're curating an experience for you. And so you're really connecting with the storyteller, like within a movie. And I think that, you know, the whole humanity versus technology thing, you start to see that there's an opportunity here to create greater connectivity, because the kids that are walking around on those phones, they're not looking at the phones, they're talking to their friends in real time. I used to go to summer camp, you get a pen pal, you write them one or two letters. My kids are talking all the time to the kids they met in summer camp and all the friends that they meet at the parties and people at school. So really, when they're walking around, they're just ignoring you, not people. And as we get used to this phenomenon, we start to see that technology offers opportunities. Yeah, there are, you know, we should be vigilant, and there are a lot of smart people who are warning about what could happen with AI, and I don't mean to discount that. And we do have to pay close attention to that. But I think to be scared of technology in general and be a Luddite and not to embrace these opportunities that might actually make us more human and more connected. Because when you think of humanity versus technology, you got to think of the root of the word versus, which is the Latin for to turn towards something, to face something. So it's humanity facing technology and taking on that challenge, and the storytellers out there to imbue what we're doing with technology with even more humanity, because it might lead to greater interconnectivity, greater empathy, and greater community.
While it may not seem like it at times, technology has opened the world to all of us. When you think about success is a choice, some still have harder hurdles to get over, but at least it's an option. If you can get to the internet, when I worked at edX, I sat there, volunteered at edX.org, which is the Harvard-MIT initiative, now has over 150 universities that have joined it. They're basically putting their educational materials online for free. So if you can get to an internet connection and you can get to an edX.org, you can get to a Khan Academy, it's free. A Harvard education, Stanford education, McGill education, University of Hong Kong education is free. So success is certainly a choice. And when you think about technology, they're ignoring you. You know, I think that's a funny line where he's like, hey, they're not ignoring people. They're just ignoring you. They're talking to their friends through this phone. Yes, we have to be vigilant with it. But I always say, the technology is like a scalpel. A scalpel can save a life if put in the hands of a surgeon, but it also can take a life if it's put in the wrong hands. And so that's what technology is like. It's basically, how do you use it? It's not the tool itself. And that's what we're trying to do all the time through our materials and our edutainment, is trying to teach people how to use these new tools to get to their best life, to unlock and unleash that superpower that's within all of us. Some of it's Flintstones and some of it is Jetsons, unlocking that inner superpower within all of us. So anyways, that was tip number 6. Here we are moving on to tip number 7.
And when you go through a studio development process, it's very, very easy to lose track of that. It becomes a big committee. It becomes a lot of people. But if you really speak from the heart and do something really wonderful and sincere, I think it's refreshing in the marketplace. And if you could, it's nice to carry that sensibility into the big movies. And I think when we made Iron Man, just the cast that we put together and the tone of that film was the same tone I would use in an independent film, and the same type of comedy I would use, and the same type of casting. And the tone of Iron Man ended up being something that, although offbeat, was successful, and now there's a whole Marvel universe that's consistent with what we did on the first film. So I guess the lesson I take away is, don't lose your sense of instinct, don't lose your gut sense of what plays and what doesn't, and don't rely on statistical analysis or a big machine to compile data to help inform your creative process.
That was tip number 7. And one thing we've seen common across the guests on the Super U podcast is they stress that slow decision making is disastrous. And to get faster decision is often to go with your instincts and often to go with your gut. So I think that's a great tip. And it's a great one to end on. Thank you for listening to today's show. My favorite tip was all around storytelling. Number 4, never make a point without telling a story, and never tell a story without making a point. So my hope is these 7 super tips help unlock and unleash the inner superpower that's in with all of us. Big, big props and big, big thanks to Amazon Prime. They make it all possible. They're the sponsor of today's show on the Super You Podcast. And also thank you to you for making my book, The Focus Project, the number 1 new release on Amazon. So even if it's not you that is going to read it, feel free to get it for that person that's struggling with focus during this pandemic. They're struggling to focus in this unfocused world. Anyways, I hope these 7 super tips allow you to focus on unleashing the superpower that's within you. Reminder, this is Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. And until next time, until the next Super You Podcast, remember, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
Seven.
Six.
Five.
Four. Three.
Two.
One.
Super, 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 super.
Super You.